plus 10. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. It had been a long night for ACN's Nora Stewart, something of an elder stateswoman of the drive-in lot, with the explosion of rumors in China about the shelter repair team's supposed return picking up steam with every passing hour. As was always the case when alien-related stories made waves, much of the heightened attention had fallen squarely on Birchwood, Colorado, and its first family of alien contact. Nora had given a near-identical rundown at the top of each of the past 12 hours, so her energy was understandably running low. But with 2 minutes until her next scheduled recap, a burst of the most concentrated energy that Nora or any of the other reporters around her had ever experienced arrived in a sudden flash of blinding light. When the light subsided, two figures stood on the preserved, scaffold-based stage from which Dan McCarthy had addressed the world on several occasions in the days of the IDA leak, and in front of which tourists now gathered for selfies at all hours of the day. Within minutes of this news spreading, the eyes of the entire world would fall squarely on the stage and its A-list cast of two, Clark McCarthy and Leisha.
"I don't have a mic," Clark shouted. "So I'm gonna need you all to shut up, and if someone doesn't, I'm going to need the rest of you to make them, okay?"
Phil Norris appeared at the door of New Care Grillin' within seconds, responding to the almighty din outside.
"Yo," Clark said, "you mind if I get the police to get rid of the cordon on your property line? I don't have a mic, and the world needs to hear this."
Phil gestured to the attendant police officers, saving Clark the trouble. The officers knew both men, Clark as a former colleague and Phil as, well, Phil Norris, so responded readily to a request they typically wouldn't have heeded if it came from anyone else.
"So did it work?" Phil asked,
talking as quietly as he could while still being heard from the not insignificant distance between his door and the stage. Clark winked. He didn't want to say too much in public, and this would get it across.
"Okay," Clark yelled, returning to the crowd. "I need to clear something up, so listen and listen good. Leisha killed that shooter in Argentina because that shooter in Argentina tried to kill us. The messengers aren't weak, but the messengers aren't pushovers. Bearing that in mind, I guess you could say the messengers remind me of myself. Leisha never hurt a fly who didn't try to hurt him first, and that makes him okay with me. Anyone disagree?"
None of the reporters or citizens in the crowd would have been likely to openly disagree with Clark, even in a one-on-one context. Such was his physical stature. But to do so in public while he was expressing solidarity with the messengers from the stage at the Birchwood drive-in was beyond contemplation. Clark knew this very well and was utilizing a tactic he'd picked up from spending so much time with Emma in the past few years for when an opportunity to disagree was raised and not a single person took it. Disagreement was painted as a fringe or even extremist position. Every word Clark spoke was his own, for despite his offer to use the incredible telepathy patches to essentially act as a conduit for Emma to get across the exact message she wanted, she turned down the suggestion and told him that talking from the heart would be better than anything she could have come up with, even if time hadn't been as tight as it was. Leisha had expressed his desire to return home several times and had already extended his stay to talk to Clark and Timo, both of whom agreed with Emma that they should try to do what had to be done as quickly as possible.
"I'm sorry about what happened," Clark said, "and so is Leisha. He's been back home since then, and unfortunately our friends on New Kerguelen have found out some pretty sad things about their world and its history. That story will come out soon, but it's their story to tell, and I only know what I've heard secondhand."
Clark took care to avoid telling a single lie, instead sticking to the lesser sin of omission in neglecting to mention that he knew absolutely everything because his brother had also been on New Kerguelen since Saturday's events.
"I kind of fell into that Focus 2020 panel on Sunday night, and you all know I don't talk to you very often, but this guy right here saved my life and he has asked for nothing in return. Before he goes home to deal with New Kerguelen's news, I wanted to stand here before you, to stand here beside him and tell you that a world full of Leishas would be a better world than the one I see when I look out the window and a damn sight better than the world I see when I turn on the TV. They have power at their fingertips to take everything from us, and they have taken nothing. They have a world of their own with problems and issues all of its own, and Leisha has been here for months, hovering over New York just waiting for our idiot leaders to agree on what words to use when they say hello to him. Leisha put his life on hold for months. My brother and my girlfriend put their name to Unica to help it out, and they showed up every time they were asked. But all of the time the three of them gave was totally wasted. Cameras clicked and flashed all around, with many of the people in the lot, Clark included, in all honesty, wondering where his comments were going. "Look, I'm not a speaker, I'm a doer, and so is this guy. They can help us with all kinds of problems, and they want to. 2 weeks from now, the ICA's doors will be open in Buenos Aires. I hope Leisha will be able to join us." The alien didn't react at all, following Emma's advice to do nothing until the very end. Clark shrugged. "This isn't rehearsed. I'm not William Godfrey with a team of speechwriters making everything sound natural when really it's been focus grouped and committed within an inch of its life. I'm not Jan Geller with a shady hedge fund throwing money at me to destabilize society and make people scared of these beings who only want the best for us. I'm just the guy whose brother is Dan McCarthy and who somehow ended up with Tara Ford." Unprompted and unplanned, Leisha raised a hand and rested it on Clark's shoulder, sensing an emotional buildup before it even came out. Clark took a deep breath. "I'm just a guy who grew up in Birchwood because this is where my dad found work and this is where my mom left us. I got out of here as soon as I could because anything is better than being left behind, right? Iraq sounded better than being the kid who got left behind. But now when I look back, I see that I'm the one who left Dan. Then my dad had his accident, so when Dan found that folder, he had no one. Some of you assholes, not all of you, but some, were trying to eat Dan alive, and you would have done it if Emma hadn't shown up when she did." Leisha lowered his hand, apparently satisfied that Clark's likelihood of shedding regrettable tears was back down to a safe level. "I really don't know what else to say. I just wanted to come here with Leisha while your cameras were here to show you that I am with Leisha. So if any of you out there or anywhere else want to treat this guy like you treated Dan, know this. You're going to have to go through me. I've gotten to know him in a way none of you have been lucky enough to experience. And yeah, like I said, I really am just some guy. But he saved my life. They saved our planet. We owe them better than fear and hatred. We owe them respect." Leisha held one of his hands out directly in front of his chest and waved to the crowd. "He has to go home now," Clark said. "I don't know exactly what's happening on New Kerguelen right now, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen here. All I know is that the ICA is coming, and that this time really is our planet's absolutely last chance to come together in a meaningful way to cooperate with theirs. Shame on us if we don't take it, and shame on you if you work against it. From the Birchwood Drive-In, I'm Clark McCarthy." Many citizens applauded and cheered the end of Clark's impromptu and unrehearsed speech, as they would have done for whatever he'd said. For as much as Clark said he was just some guy, and as much as he might have meant it, they knew better. His hometown crowd knew the part he had played over the past few years, most of the part he'd played anyway, and they knew he was right about Leisha. From Buenos Aires to Dortlutepe, and perhaps even New Birchwood, and from absent architects to malfunctioning machines, it was impossible for Clark or anyone else to predict where the next big alien-related development might occur or what it would entail. Too many pieces were in play for another year to pass without a major event of some kind, and Clark's new biggest wish, now that Piper was all better, was that hope would have decisively won out over fear by the time humanity had to make its next big collective decision. After a single alien flash left him alone on the stage and 100 flashing cameras captured his walk back into town, Clark McCarthy knew only two things for sure. Change was coming, and he was going to do everything in his power to make sure humanity's future went the right way.